From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, February 18th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
The administrative bodies that coordinate scouting in the state of Maine are responding to news that the National Boy Scouts of America today filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Leaders of the Maine groups have declined requests for interviews, but the Pine Tree Council and Katahdin Area Council have posted statements on their websites and Facebook pages, noting that the Maine councils have not filed for bankruptcy and are legally separate from the national organization. In an email statement, officials with the Pine Tree Council say meetings and activities, along with district and council events, are taking place as usual. National news outlets and attorneys have published lists naming alleged sexual predators in the Boy Scouts, including a number from Maine, going back decades. Several advocates push for new legislation today they say would improve the state's bail system. The bill from Representative Rachel Talbot Ross of Portland would eliminate cash bail for some Class E low-level offenses, with an exception for those relating to domestic violence or sexual assault. It would also require courts to consider several new factors while setting bail, including defendants' health needs and whether they're responsible for the care of another person. At a public hearing today, Talbot Ross said low-income residents can be left incarcerated for days because they're not able to afford bail, which she says punishes them before they've even gone to trial.
The system also disproportionately harms people of color. It is discriminatory, it is costly, it doesn't work. In fact, research shows that no evidence of people that who pay cash bail are more likely to return to court than people released on their own recognizance.
Groups including the ACLU of Maine supported the law and none opposed it. District Attorney Andrew Robinson said he and other prosecutors still had questions about parts of the bill but largely favor the intent of the changes. Maine labor officials are seeking public comment on their latest plan to connect job seekers with education, training, and employment. Along with the State Workforce Board, the State Department of Labor today released its unified state plan covering 2020 through 2023. And the economic impact of snowmobiling in Maine has risen dramatically in the last 20 years and is now at more than $606 million. A new University of Maine report finds an increasing portion of that is from out-of-staters who tend to spend more on food and lodging. In weather tonight, rain and snow ending with lows in the mid-teens to the low 30s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy north with some snow showers in the mountains, otherwise partly to mostly sunny, windy statewide with highs in the low 20s to low 40s north to south. And on Thursday, partly cloudy north, mostly sunny south, highs one above to the mid-20s. A legislative committee is questioning the legality of a lease for state lands that Central Maine Power needs for its proposed transmission corridor through western Maine. Lawmakers say the lease requires approval from two-thirds of the legislature. Fred Bever has more.
Members of the Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry Committee say a lease between CMP and the Bureau of Parks and Lands for a mile-long parcel of state land that was signed in 2014 should be canceled. They cite a statute requiring that state lands can't be conveyed for a transmission project unless it has received a permit from the state's Public Utilities Commission, a permit CMP did not win until 2019. And BPL planner David Rodriguez says when he was working on the lease back in 2014, he had no idea the parcel was destined to be a major transmission corridor, and he didn't consult the relevant statute.
Me, when I was working on it, I believed that it was for renewable energy and it possibly windmills to be built in that region. I knew nothing about any other reason for the corridor.
The committee voted unanimously to support a resolve stating that the lease should be voided, and if it is renegotiated, should then require approval by two-thirds of the state legislature. That's under a provision in Maine's Constitution requiring such a vote when a public parcel would be, quote, substantially altered via a lease.
It's tough to know that these decisions were made without much information about what the project was.
Representative Maggie O'Neill is a Saco Democrat.
This is public land. It belongs to the people of Maine, and it's really important that we are thoughtful and go, and that our government goes through this process when we make these kinds of choices, and that the public knows and has the opportunity to weigh in.
But Tony Buxton, a lawyer for the Industrial Energy Consumers Group, which supports the project, says the committee is being driven by fossil fuel interests that would lose business if CMP is successful in its effort to sluice electricity from Canadian dams into the regional grid. Buxton says that if opponents had a legitimate problem with the lease, they could challenge it in court.
But for some reason, the opponents have chosen not to do that, but are challenging it politically. And as we testified before the committee, that's not an appropriate process.
In a written statement, a CMP spokesman says the company is confident that the lease was entered legally and that it includes a requirement that all relevant permits be secured before construction can begin. It could be several weeks before the full legislature considers the committee's proposal for a new look at that lease. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Super Thursday is 2 weeks from today. It'll be the first time in 20 years that Maine Democrats and Republicans will vote in a presidential primary instead of a caucus. 12 candidates will appear on the Democratic ballot, including several who've already ended their campaigns. On Election Day at polling places, the names of those candidates who have withdrawn from the election will be posted, and votes for them will be counted as blanks. On the Republican side, President Trump's the only candidate. Secretary of State Matt Dunlap oversees elections in Maine. And on Maine Calling Today with Jennifer Rooks, he acknowledged that some voters might be surprised to discover that the primary ballot does not use ranked choice voting.
So when the ranked choice voting referendum was adopted by the voters in 2016, it didn't include the presidential races. It was only state and federal races, and we won't go through that whole history. But the legislature had to take separate action to include the presidential primary and the general election in ranked choice voting. They did so. They adopted ranked choice voting for the presidential primary and for the presidential general election. Governor Mills allowed it to become law without her signature. And the technical outcome of that was that it doesn't take effect until 90 days after the adjournment of the current legislative session. So we won't use it for the March 3rd primary, assuming, because there is actually a pending people's veto application. There are circulating petitions to stop this. Assuming that is not successful, then you would see it for the November election.
Are you making predictions on turnout?
Absolutely not. No, I think it'll probably run along the lines of what we see in a typical primary election, which is anywhere from 15% to 20%. But it's really shooting in the dark because we haven't done an election in March before. And we've been really lucky the last couple of cycles that we've had decent weather. And you can't really predict decent weather this time of year. So we'll see how it plays out.
All right, the question on everybody's mind after Iowa, how confident are you, Matt Dunlap, Secretary of State, that Maine's primary will run smoothly and without any interference and be secure and fair?
Well, we've been joking around that we could use that app because it's been heavily discounted now after being used in Iowa. But I think, you know, realistically, we have a vast body of experience in working with the 500 plus town clerks and registrars of voters, the local election officials. I think voters can feel pretty comfortable that the election will be run smoothly, with good order, with results turned over fairly quickly. We should not see any surprises. This is one of the things about the Iowa caucus that I really have to ding them on, is that they were incredibly opaque. Nobody knew what was happening. They didn't really tell anybody what was happening. And when there's a lack of information, it adds to the level of mistrust and fear, which was really, really unnecessary. I mean, they had a glitch in their technology. That's normal. And if you tell people what's going on, they happen to believe you if you're being truthful.
Who can vote in the primary?
Well, any eligible voter can vote in the primary in this election cycle because there's a couple elements. Now, if you are a registered Republican today and you wanted to vote in the Democratic primary, it's really too late because there's a 15-day blackout period, so the parties can't stampede each other's primary nominations. But if you're an unenrolled voter or you're not registered to vote, you can register, enroll on primary day, and vote in one of the primaries. Saying that, say you're an unenrolled voter and you have no interest in the primary, But there's still something there for you, and that is the People's Veto referendum, which is available to all eligible voters. Even if you're not registered, you can register to vote on March 3rd, and you can participate in that. There's also a special election up in Brewer for the vacant House seat up there that was vacated by the passing of Representative Archie Vero. And there's also some local things happening, too, where towns will piggyback on this election day. So there's really something there for just about everybody.
That's Jennifer Rooks speaking with Matt Dunlap today on Maine Calling. Absentee voting is already underway, and if you'd like to hear the entire conversation with Secretary of State Matt Dunlap, you can find that at mainecalling.org. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about Maine's history from statehood through the Civil War. I'm Nora Flaherty.